Welcome back, everybody, to Monday Night, our series on Nishmas. This is part two of our series. I don't remember the exact title of this one, but you can just look at the flyer. But we're going to continue to go through the ideas and the concept of Nishmas. So we spoke a lot last time, but before we do that, I want to thank Mimi and Ari Schreier for sponsoring this series in honor of everybody. It should be a zechus for everybody in every way. So it should be good things. And thank you very much for that. So we spoke a lot last time just about the structure, about the purpose, about the placement. So we spent a lot of time talking about how it's right by Az Yashir, and that is not a coincidence. The Rav said a lot of the point that it's after we finish Pesukei Dezimra, where we're trying to praise Hashem in every way, where we just kind of throw up our hands and say, Hashem, we can't praise you properly, because this is what the entire Nishmas is about. Ilufinu Malayiv Shira Kayam Ushranenu Rino Kamung Chevach. There's just, no matter what we tried, if we do everything in our power to praise you, we are still not even beginning to scratch the surface. And we spoke about spaces. We spoke about how the spaces by Az Yashir, the lack of space by the beginning of the story of Mitzrayim between the two parshios, how the spaces is what gives us a chance to take a minute and reflect, to think back, what is really happening, what are we really trying to accomplish, what have we done, and where do we have to go, and how can we get to that place. So we have a lot of points in terms of the spaces, in terms of what we're supposed to accomplish, and then we got into the practically, so what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to say it? Are we supposed to say it every single day? Are we not supposed to say it every single day, as Mrs. Dorf was kind of pushing us to, which was the right point. And the answer was, is that I think what we came out with, and I don't think this is so controversial to say, if you're saying one thing, Shmona Esrei is probably better to say. And there are a lot of really good things. Tehillim is a wonderful thing to say. Nishmas, Hashem loves Nishmas so much that we are able to make this Tanai and say, not that we're testing Hashem, but we say, Hashem, we are going to go and have Amir Tashem, this type of Yeshua, and hopefully you'll allow us to have this thing. We're just recapping the first one, so we're all good. Hopefully Hashem is going to give us this Yeshua that we are davening for, and once you do that, I am going to say Nishmas, and that is such a wonderful thing, because Hashem craves our Nishmas so badly. This idea of Hakaras HaTov, which is the main theme of Nishmas, the other main theme of Nishmas we pointed out, was to channel everything that we have, our bodies, our souls, our fire, our energy, to channel everything towards Hashem. That was the other element, but there's a lot more to discuss when it comes to Nishma. So let's go into the actual tefillah, maybe bring out a few different types of yesodos tonight that kind of get us thinking. You know, we're going to pick a few passages, a few lines that maybe we'll build upon and hopefully be able to develop something very interesting and meaningful. So we pointed out that this Nishmas book, Rav Besser, so some interesting points in there. Otherwise, you know, just a lot of stories. It's not always so easy to go and, that's going to be a shir. There's some nice stories in there, nice points in terms of the words. But in the beginning, he points out how he has a Talmud of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, how he had him ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky, because again, remember, this was coming from the Rebbetzin, who was the, you know, the main player, I guess, in terms of the recent surge of Nishma. She was certainly very into it. And we pointed out Rav Kolodetsky's wife, or Rebbetzin Kolodetsky, who's the daughter of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So she was the one who explained that even though you might not necessarily think to say it every day, you still could say it every day, because she, at least, Rebbetzin Batsheva Kanievsky, she would just, every single thing that happened in her life, she was just, oh my gosh, I woke up in the morning, how can I not say Nishmas? Everything that happens, how can I not go and be so thankful to Hashem? So that could be our perspective, that should be what we have. It's not a tefillah for bakashos. We have enough of those. But it's for, wow, Hashem, thank you so much, and I know I can't wait to thank you in the ultimate way once I do get that Yeshua. So he found this Talmud, he went to go ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky, what is the source for saying Nishmas? And Rav Chaim Kanievsky said back, it's a Svara. What's the Svara? Well, the Svara is pretty obvious. We want to thank Hashem. Hashem is there doing all of these things for us. We need to thank Him. Who is this Chiyuv for, they asked? This is for men and women equally. It applies to everybody. You might find more women doing this as opposed to men. There's no good reason for that. This skula and this idea of saying Nishmas applies to men and women equally. Now, it's interesting in halacha, there are certain things, obviously, that are different for men and women in terms of what to say, when to say, certain things which are mitzvahs aseh she'azman grama. We know there aren't really that many things, though. It gets thrown into, you know, oh my gosh, they're putzer. It's not that many things. I think also Rasmer always likes to say, how have I mentioned know what women need to know? That'd be pretty good. That'd be a great starting point. There's a lot to know. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to say. There are certain mitzvahs, though, that are more women-focused, like candlelighting. Candlelighting, there's actually a source for that. A lot of it is to make up a tikkun for chava, so that's why maybe women have taken the control of that mitzvah, but men are not putter from that mitzvah. If a man is home for Shabbos, by himself, he has to go and light Shabbos candles. And really, the Shulchan Aruch says that really the men should be involved in some capacity in the Shabbos candles, so they could set up the candles before. So there are certain mitzvos that do have more of a, I guess, of a focus on one over the other. But this skula, in terms of nishmas, really applies to both. And we pointed out that it's best to say not just nishmas itself, but it goes in shochenad, uvimakah lo survivos, and then yishtabach until the bracha of yishtabach. That's where you are supposed to go. Good. So let's look into the beginning parts of Nishmas. Nishmas kol chai tivarech eshimcha. So we say that every living thing, kol chai tivarech eshimcha, every living thing is going to go ahead and bless you. What are we saying this for? So some explain that we're saying this. Nishmas kol chai means that we're thanking Hashem for life. The fact that we're alive right now, that is certainly something that we're thankful for. But it goes a little bit deeper than that. They point out, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, lo amus ki echya. Lo amos ki echya. So there's what's being called not dying, so just physically living, and then there's ki echya, which is actually living. And we see this a lot. People might be alive, but they're not really living. And we see this, unfortunately, a lot of times with the older, with the elderly who are sick and whatever it is, and you see certain types of lifestyles, and you're like, is this really a lifestyle? And it is very, very tough to see. But the truth is that it's really true for every single one of us. So often we get so caught up in everything that's happening in our lives, in the day-to-day grind and the stress, and we don't take a step back, going back to the spaces that we spent a lot of time on last week, we don't have that time to just reflect, enjoy, and be thankful, and appreciate that which is happening around us. And before we look up, so many years have gone by, and you didn't even get to soak it in. You didn't even get to enjoy it. I remember we had a chabura here for high school kids, and we were talking. I was curious. I had like a bunch of different schools there, some boys, some girls, and I was curious, what's the number one struggle that high school kids have nowadays? So we went around the table, and they all said the exact same thing. Stress. Natalia, what do you think? Stress. Sorry, just talking. Stress was the number one thing. I'm like, wait, one second, what? And he said, is it social stress? Is it social pressures? Is it academic pressures? Both. Okay, so I said, is camp also really stressful? Because camp has a lot of social pressures. No, camp's totally different. It's totally fine. What's the difference? The difference is whether you have a phone or not, right? When in camp, they take away the phone and there's no phone there. So if they're not being included in something, they're not going to see it on Instagram or something. Oh, wow, look, everyone else is over here. And okay, that's just my own thoughts. But point is, stress. You can go through your high school years. It's supposed to be so fun, amazing. You don't have to worry about expense. You don't have to worry about certain things. And just, you look up at the end, oh my God, I didn't even get to enjoy it. And of course you have to take it seriously. And of course I'm not saying that you should never, you know, study for things or whatever it is. Of course you have to, but you got to make sure that you're living as well. And I'm not saying living in terms of, oh, go to every party. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is you got to make sure to enjoy things. And the way that you're supposed to go ahead and do that, it's built into what we say every single day. Moda'ani, we wake up and we're thankful. The reason for that is it's supposed to take us to take a step back, take a deep breath, and just reflect for a minute. It's not so easy, but that's exactly what Nishmas is. Nishmas kol chai tivarech hashemcha. We have to make sure that we are living as well. We need to make sure that we appreciate that which is happening around us. Then we say, v'ruach kol basar tifa'eru suramim es zichrecha. The spirit of all flesh will always glorify you. And the idea here is that even when we don't feel it, even if we're not necessarily at the level that we'd like to be at, where we think that we could be doing more, we should be doing more, there's that pintle yid in every single one of us, no matter how far gone we may think that we are. V'ruach kol basar, every single person wants some sort of connection. They may not know that they want that connection. They may not feel it at that time, but they want it there. And by saying these words, and by going and just thinking in these realms of being thankful, of trying to channel everything we have towards Hashem, that gets us to go and believe it, even if we don't feel it fully at that time. Acharapu'os nimshach halevavos is a real thing. We can talk things into existence based on the way that we talk. That can start to go in. This is exactly what we pointed out in the Tefillah Shir, that when the times of Rus, the Jews were in a horrible place religiously. No one was focused on God in any capacity. So Boaz made a takana. He made a decree that everyone has to greet each other with God's name. What was the purpose of that? Because you get God on the mind. The more you talk about something, the more it goes in. V'ruach kol basar tifa eru suramim zichrecha. This is the idea. No matter how far gone you may think you are, no matter how much you think you have to do and how far you have to go, we are all on that same team going and praising Hashem. And then we say, min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam atakel, from this world until the next world, you are Hashem. This idea of Baruch Hashem min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, this idea is a very Beis HaMikdash focused thing. It's focusing on the next world and our next world perspective. That's another theme of Nishmas, how Hashem is not just here in this world, but Hashem is there into the next world. And let's take a few minutes to try to analyze what this means, maybe in a deeper way. You see, when it comes to Kriya Shema, which is very much connected to Nishmas, because this is the introduction to Birchas Kriya Shema, right? We said it's purposely there. Maybe, as the Arizal said, you get your Neshama Yisera at around Baruch Hu, which leads us into Shema. Shema is the mitzvah Midoraisa. We don't have that many opportunities to daven Midoraisa. And unfortunately for me, sometimes I don't always take advantage of Shema the way I'm supposed to. But maybe we'll do Shema next. I don't know, we'll talk about that. But point is, Shema is a very important tefillah. And out of all of the Avos, who had the most unique relationship with Shema? Yaakov. Yaakov had a very interesting relationship with Shema. Yaakov finally goes down to Mitzrayim, sees Yosef after 22 years of not seeing him, and what's the first thing he does? Shema. Why is that the first thing he does? Now, in general, Yaakov's whole attitude during that time is very interesting, and there's actually a quick way we can explain it. Can't help myself. Why? Yaakov Avinu was going down to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was known as a place of Shtufei Zima, the ultimate Yetzirah. Wherever place you think is just like, oh my God, I feel gross over here. There's just so much going on here. Whatever that place may be, you can fill in the blank. I've learned not to actually make suggestions of those places. Everyone can fill in the blanks of those places. Oh man, that was bad. But everyone can fill in the blanks of those places. So Mitzrayim was that times 20. Mitzrayim was really bad. The Yetzirah was really strong in Mitzrayim, and that's why a lot of the Jews, 80% of the Jews who were killed in Choshech, failed as well. So Yaakov Avinu knew the Gemara. Did he really know the Gemara? Yeah, Gemara says he knew the Gemara. All right, what does that mean? Fine. So he knew the Gemara. Let's just say the Gemara in Brachos tells us that before you're going to fight the Yetzirah, there are three things you need to do. What's the first thing? Let's say you feel it's coming on. You feel that Yetzirah, that Taiva attacking you. So thing number one you do is you learn Torah. You learn Torah. And when you distract yourself, Barasi Yetzihara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, where you go ahead and you have the Yetzihara, you go and fight that with Torah, and it's supposed to protect you, get your mind off of what you're struggling with. But that doesn't always work. We're not always able to focus. It works if we're able to focus, but we're humans. We're not always able to focus. So says the Gemara, what's the next thing that you should do? Say Shema. When you remember Kabbalas O Malchus Shemaim and you say Shema, that helps you focus, and then you should go ahead and do that. The third thing, let's say that's not working either and you just feel it's coming on. The type is so strong. What should you do? Think of the day of death. Think of the Yom HaMisa, and that will get you there. So if that's really the most powerful thing, then why don't we just sit at funerals all day and not worry ever about sin? The answer is because then we'd be depressed. We're not supposed to be depressed, right? We have to live. We're not supposed to always be down and feeling gross and feeling sad and whatever it is. If we need it, it's there, but that's not the way we're always supposed to feel. Oh, okay. Based on this Gemara, now we can understand Yaakov Avinu going down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu is going down to Mitzrayim after all these years, and he knows that it's very difficult. So the first thing he does when he hears that we're going down to Mitzrayim is he sends Yehuda ahead to go build a yeshiva. Torah. Okay, we got to try to fight this with Torah. He gets closer, and finally he sees Yosef, and he feels himself overwhelmed, and the taivas are strong, and there's a lot there. So he goes, and he finally sees Yosef. What does he do? He says Shema. Even that, though, doesn't always work, and then Yaakov says something very strange. He says, Amusa hapam. Now I can die. Yaakov starts to think of the Yom HaMisa. Yaakov was following the steps in our Gemara. I forgot who says that, but it's a great idea. There's Amin Saratkin, maybe? I don't know. But it's an amazing idea because Yaakov Avinu was following these stages in the Gemara. Yaakov Avinu, again, had this very interesting relationship with Shema. But that's not the only place where Yaakov Avinu interacts with Shema. The Medrash tells us that Yaakov Avinu was the first person to get sick, right? Yaakov Avinu was the first person to get sick, and he had his family surrounding him, a beautiful way to go out. And he wanted to go and say when Mashiach was going to come, what's the Zman of the Geula, and what happens? Just leaves his head, right? He wasn't able to remember, and he was so nervous. What was he thinking, says the Medrash? Oh my gosh, maybe I forgot this. Maybe it's not coming to me because maybe I have what my parents and grandparents had. Avraham had a Yishmael, Yitzchak had an Esav, and that's why they weren't able to reach the ultimate level. Maybe I'm the same. Maybe out of all of my 12 kids who are right here right now, maybe one amongst us is not worthy, and that's why I'm struggling, says the Medrash. All the kids say back, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They say back Shema, and they say, Dad, just like you believe in your heart that Hashem is Hashem Echad, so too we believe that. So don't worry, we're all good. Yaakov's calmed down, and Yaakov says back, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Ali Olam Vayet. Interesting again. that this is the Shema relationship with Yaakov. We don't really find this by any of the other Avos. Specifically by Yaakov, in these two situations, what is it about Yaakov and Shema? Additionally, there is a Medrash, and the Medrash tells us in Shmos Rabbah that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to praise Hashem with us. We spent a lot of time on Uz Yashir last week. Moshe wanted to praise Hashem with us because he also sinned with us. What does that mean? So Moshe Rabbeinu goes down to Mitzrayim. The first time he goes down, everyone's all excited. We spoke about this last week also with the spaces. Everyone was so excited. They're all, oh my gosh, our Savior's here. He goes back. He brings the magic tricks. He brings the four Lashonos of Geula. He comes back. Paro was smart. Mikotzer Ruach Me'avodah Kasha. Paro got them so busy that they weren't able to think about anything else, that they weren't even able to imagine themselves in a better place. And they say, Moshe, we don't have time for you. We have too much work. And Paro's frustrated by this, and Paro says, the fact that Moshe's even back here and that they were even excited for 1 second shows that they're not busy enough. And what do we need to do? I got to take away the materials to make the bricks. I'm going to make it much harder now. And all the people start, as you know the Jewish people would, you can all imagine, Moshe, what are you doing? And Moshe says, Umei Uz Basi Al Paro, and you sent me to Paro, Umei Uz, you sent me to Paro, and I just made it worse. What are you doing? And Hashem berates Moshe and says, Avram never questioned me. I gave him some pretty tough tests. Yitzhak never questioned me. I gave them some pretty tough tests. You, Moshe, are now going ahead and questioning me just from this. So Umei Uz, where Moshe Rabbeinu sinned, now he wants to go and fix it with Uz Yashir. What does this mean? What's this Uz? What are we supposed to do? So I once heard Rabbi Lipos in a totally different context explain something absolutely beautiful. And he explains that there's a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Nun tells us that one day, at the end of days, Hashem is going to be one and everyone is going to recognize it. We say, by Yom Ahu Yah Hashem Echad, Ushimo Echad. Now the question begs itself, says the Gemara. What does this mean? Right now, Hashem is not one and Ushimo Echad, His name is not one. What does that mean? So what does it mean that Hashem Echad, Ushimo Echad, that it will be one? What is it right now? So comes the Gemara and says, "Bayom Ahuya Hashem Echad." What does it mean, Hashem Echad? So right now in this world, we have two brachos. We have the bracha of Baruch Dayan HaEmet, where we have sad things that happen to us, and we say, "You know what, God? You know what you're doing. That's what we're going to do." And that's what it is. It is what it is. There's nothing we can do. You get the bigger picture. We don't get it. This stinks. This is terrible. This is sad. But we don't get it. You do. And we're just going to leave it at that. Tzidukatin. That's what we do. When someone loses a loved one and they go to the cemetery, they're supposed to say this thing. Atzur tamim pa'alo. Why? Tzidukatin. Before we go into anything else, God, you know what you're doing. We don't question. We don't know. As much as it hurts, as painful as it is. And we have that bracha on the one hand. But on the other hand, we have the bracha of Hatova Hameitiv, the happiest possible bracha you can have. You bring out an extra bottle of wine. It's always interesting that that's like the main example brought in the Gemara. It's like the biggest simcha you could possibly have. Okay, also a baby, but you could also have another extra bottle of wine. Unbelievable. And these two brachos that you have, these brachos represent two totally different emotions. And in this world right now, Bayom Ahu Yah Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad means that in this world, we have these two brachos, but in the next world, Hashem Echad is going to be that it's only Hatova Hameitiv. We're only going to have good things. These sad things are not going to exist anymore, and it's only going to be Hatova Hameitiv, so we're going to have Bayom Ahu Yah Hashem Echad. Now, what does it mean, Ushmo Echad? Why is it not Ushmo Echad? So says the Gemara, in this world, we have the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of Hashem, but how do we say it? Ado then Nai, right? The Gemara says, Zeh Shemi Li Olam, Zeh Zichri Lador Vador, Lador Dor. Don't tell Avi I said that. Zeh Shemi Li Olam, Zeh Zichri Lador Dor. So Li Olam is spelled Chaser without a Vav, which is Le'alim, to hide. So the Gemara says, from there we learn out, this is an important source to know, this is Mamish what we interact with every single day. The Yud Kei Vav Kei is not said as it's supposed to be said, it's said as Ado then Nai. So in this world we have these two names, we have the way that it's written and the way that it's said, but in the next world, we're just going to have the way that it's written, and we're going to read it like that. So it comes out, there's two main differences between this world and the next world. First is that this is only going to be one bracha. We're not going to have the bad things and the good things. It's only going to be good things. And second is that we're going to say Hashem's name the way it's supposed to be said. And these two things are very much connected, because we see God right now as two different things. We see the good and the bad. We see as two separate names, but it's all going to be one. It's all going to be connected. What's the idea here? The idea is, and this is what Shema represents, the ultimate in understanding that Hashem is one, the ultimate in feeling like God is singular, is not just that there's one God, but it's those moments in life, and some people here may have been lucky enough to see this in their lifetime, and maybe most have, you'll tell me, where at one point something just seems like the worst possible thing. How could it possibly be I didn't get that job that I so desperately wanted? How could it possibly be I didn't get that promotion? I didn't get that shidduch. I didn't get this thing, whatever it may be. And then you look back afterwards and you say, oh my God, thank God that happened the way that it did, because otherwise that would not have been good. What I was so sure was the best thing for me was so nice. I didn't get into a certain school you were hoping to go, whatever it may be. Something that you were so sure was the best possible thing for you. You then look back, whether it's a week, a month, a year, many years, and you're like, thank God that didn't happen. Does this happen? Yeah, people see this. When you see this, when you're able to tap into that feeling, that is the ultimate echad. That's the ultimate type of Shema. That's the ultimate type of unity of Hashem's name. This is actually what they say in terms of shofar. The shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur functions as a tefillah. That's why, especially in Yolk, I was blown away when we did this year. Ah, good one. When we had shofar here on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we do it during Shmona Esrei. I've never had that before, but all of you have. We do it during Shmona Esrei because it's mamish part of the tefillah. That's right there. When we say the bracha, ki ata shomea kol shofar mazin kol tefillah seinu. Because the purpose is that it's part of the tefillah. So what tefillah is it? We're davening so much. What is the shofar? So the Mefarshim point out that the shofar is this wordless tefillah where we're able to tap into this amazing power that God is giving us, where we're saying, listen, God, we poured our hearts out for so long. We tried everything. We don't always know what's best for us. Take us home. We think we might know what's best. We're davening for things that we think that we want. We don't always know what's best for us. The Seder of Soloveitchik, he was davening so much. He wanted to be get this rabbi job in Europe so badly right before the war. And he came and he didn't get it. And he was devastated. And then he came back here. And American Jewry is very much based on him. And he said, Baruch Hashem, Hashem didn't answer my tefillos. This perspective is a next world type of perspective. It's not that the Dayan HaEmet and the Hatova HaMetiv are two separate things, that there's not going to be anything bad. It's that we're going to see how everything needed to happen because it needed to happen the way that it did. Hashem needed to make it happen that way for whatever reason. We can't always understand why it was. And that's a next worldly type of Shema. It's a different level of Shema. It's a totally different type of thing. Moshe now goes. Let's get back to our questions. Moshe goes and he says, let my people go. And not only do they not get to go, but things become much worse and things become harder. And Moshe says, what's going on here? May us basi as Paro. You brought me to Paro just to make things harder. How could this possibly be? And it was only at Az Yashir when he was able to take that moment to reflect and look back. And he saw that everything needed to happen the way that it was. We needed to go through these extra lows. And we needed to go through every step that we did to become the nation that we are heading towards Matan Torah. Each thing needed to happen at that way. Moshe Rabbeinu specifically wanted to do this praise with Uz because he wanted to show that he just didn't get it at first, but now he did. Uz represents this other perspective, this next worldly type of perspective. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us of a minhag that on Shabbos afternoon around mincha time, the Kohanim or the Levim, who were the singers in the Beis HaMikdash, they would sing Uz Yashir. What type of minhag is this? What does this mean, says the Gemara? So we have to understand that Shabbos is broken into three separate parts. And you can actually find this when we say Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu v'Tzivnu Chaseinu, and then we skip a little further in that line. We say V'yanuchu, what's the word? Vam is when? Right? We say Va on Friday night, Vo on Shabbos day, and Vam on Shabbos mincha. Right? If you notice, there's three different words that go for that point, because each of these three times are supposed to represent three different types of relationships that we're supposed to have with Shabbos. Friday night is all about the Shabbos, that's Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, going back to the creation of the world, which is why, what do we say in Shmona Esrei? Vayechulu. What's Vayechulu? That's from Bereishis. That's from the creation of the world, creation of Shabbos. That's Friday night. Shabbos day is the Shabbos that we relate to the Shabbos of Matan Torah, coming up. Shavuos was a Shabbos, right? The Torah was given on a Shabbos. Machlokas, whether it was on the 6th or the 7th, very strange. That's probably the most important moment in our history. We don't actually have the exact date for. Okay, we'll talk about that another time. But that represents Matan Torah, which is why, what do we say in Shmona Esrei? Yismach Moshe b'matanas choko. It's a very strange thing to be saying on Shabbos morning. What are we doing? And the answer is because that's what we're tapping into that day. On Shabbos day, that Shmona Esrei is all about Matan Torah. That's why we're doing that. When it comes to Shabbos mincha, So then we focus on the Asid Lavo. We focus on the future. So again, Friday night is Bereshis. That's why we go Vayechulu. Shabbos day is Matan Torah. That's why we go to Yismach Moshe B'Matanas Chalko. And Shabbos Mincha is all about La'asud Lavo. It's all about the spiritual. That's why Shal Shudis is when you're, you know, we're leaving Shabbos out and we're singing and you feel it. Because Shabbos is about La'asud Lavo. And that's why, what do we say? Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. Right? This idea of Shemona Esrei. Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. What we just explain is the ultimate Echad. This idea, this next world perspective of being able to see why everything is the way that it is. Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. That's why they would say Az Yashir at Mincha on Shabbos, because Az Yashir represents the same idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, looking back after all this time, he was unable to fully grasp why it had to go this way until the end. He said, oh, each thing needed to happen the way that it did. That's an Uz moment. That's a Echad moment, when we're able to see God in this clear way. You know, the other Avos did not have this perspective the way that Yaakov Avinu did. Yaakov Avinu is missing his favorite child for 22 years, and he can't possibly understand why. And then he finally goes to Mitzrayim, and he sees that the world would have collapsed. His family would have died, if not for the fact that Yosef was running the economy for the world. And he said, wow, each thing needed to happen the way that it did to get me to this point. For whatever reason, it needed to be like this. And what's the one thing that Yaakov could do at that moment? Shema. Yes, that was a nice shot to say that he was trying to fight the Yitzhara. Really nice. Different perspective. Yaakov had an Echad moment. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It came full circle. That's what we try to tap into, to have this next worldly Shema. He's surrounded by his kids now. And he's thinking, you know what? We've been through a lot. You look at the life of Yaakov, right? Yaakov just wanted to rest and retire and relax. But that doesn't happen. And Yaakov's thinking back. All of my kids had things. Reuven and Shimon. Reuven moved the bed. Shimon and Levi with Shechem. Dina with Shechem. And Yosef and all the brothers and everyone. Yet after everything, he hears this word. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. They're all still religious. They're all still on the same wavelength as him. And he says, Baruch Shein Kvod Malchuso L'Olam V'Lad, tapping into the response that they give in the Beis HaMikdash, this next worldly response. This was Yaakov Avinu's relationship with this next world perspective of Shema. And know again, there are a lot of things that happen in our lives that we don't always understand. And when we are lucky enough to have that next world perspective, when we are lucky enough to feel those moments and see those moments, we have to attach ourselves to those moments. They are there for us to think about. Whether it was a year ago, 20 years ago, 30 years, it doesn't matter. We have to think back to those moments and tap into that type of power. That's what it's all about. We have the Dayan HaEmet, we have the Hatova HaMeitiv, but we recognize that it's coming from the same source. We can have that next world perspective even in this world. And the way to reach that is through this Nishmas. Min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam atakel. It's the same Hashem, this world and the next world. That's what we're tapping into. Each of these lines has so much depth to it. That's what it is that we're tapping into. But when we have this Nishmas perspective, when we're thinking in this way of just being thankful, this helps us think in terms of our next worldly perspective. We then go into Umibaladecha in Lanu Melech Goel Moshiach. The ultimate way to daven is when we feel like there is no one else who can help us. Unfortunately, or fortunately for us, Baruch Hashem, oftentimes if there's something happening in the community, deep down in our heart of hearts, we really think that the other community members, our families, our friends, whoever it is really going to pull through for us. We're going through this very hard thing, and of course we need Hashem's help, but there are people around who are going to help us. And it's very hard to have a full tefillah where we're fully focused on Hashem helping us and nobody else. And this is why the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in Yom Kippur, the holiest person, the holiest day, and the holiest place of everything, he has a special tefillah which he says. We say it on Yom Kippur. And on this tefillah, he says that you should forgive everyone. And he also adds in one very strange thing. What does he add in? Don't listen to the tefillos of those who are going to be walking around and saying, please Hashem, don't let it rain, because we need the rain here in Eretz Yisrael. So some of the first one are bothered. Really, is that that's what we're bothered with? That's what we're focusing on again. Holiest person, holiest place, holiest time. The one opportunity that we have. No one else is allowed in there. They're going to die. I was just talking in there about the fact that the Kohen Gadol, each year it used to be by merit, but then it became an auctioned off type of position and people would die every single year. The Kohen Gadol would go in, but if he wasn't worthy, he would not come out. They used to tie a rope to the Kohen Gadol so they can pull him out afterwards. Makes you think, who would want to become a Kohen Gadol, right? But people still bid for it. They put all their money up for it. I don't know, would you? Like, what's the, isn't that thing like, it's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all, right? But I guess in terms of to have had that power than to not, I don't know, it really makes you, if 200 out of the last 220 have died after 1 year, would you then sign up to be the Kohen Gadol? I don't know. I think not, but maybe, I don't know. I hope not. Oh, whatever. I don't have to worry about it. But anyway, this idea, the Kohen Gadol has that one opportunity. The Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, and he's wasting his time saying, these people who are thinking so selfishly that they're thinking, I don't want to get a little wet, so please, don't let it rain. These are the people that we're worried about. And the Mefarshim point out that actually, yeah, we are worried about those people. Why? Because they are having a very sincere type of tefillah, because there's no one else they can bank on. They can't ask their friends or their family to help them. It's only God who's going to determine the rain. The meteorologists are nice, but they're not going to help you. It's only God who's able to determine whether it's going to rain or not. That is a sincere tefillah that we need the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur to go ahead and fight. Otherwise, we have no chance. We have to feel, Mibal Adecha, In Lanu Melech Goel Moshiach. We say that for a reason. We try to tap into that. The more we talk about it, the more we let it in. And that's, in Nishmas, what we're saying. That every single tefillah has to feel that we are doing this for Hashem. But there's one other element to this, and maybe this will be our last bigger idea for the night. There's one other element to that. Mibal Adecha, In Lanu Melech Goel Moshiach. We have to recognize that even though sometimes we might feel alone in certain struggles that we're going through, even if we're able to have others and whatever it may be, that feeling of being alone is very tough. Hashem is there with us in that grind. It might not always feel that way, but that's what we always need to have in mind. That's what we always need to feel. You know, when you go throughout history, I'm not that big a history guy. We have much bigger history people in this shul. But if you went throughout history and you have to choose any conversation to be a fly on the wall for, right? And if you could really put any two people together to try to have a conversation that you can go ahead and really just hear what they're talking about from any point in history, it's always a fascinating thing to think about. I think, you know, in Mishpacha, I think they have those things. Like, if you could have dinner with one person, who would it be? Right? You're supposed to say, oh, my wife. Okay, maybe not. No, I don't know. Maybe. If I'm talking to her, maybe. No, I wouldn't say that there. But anyway. No, maybe. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So there's a conversation recorded in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us there was a conversation happening between Shem, the son of Noach, and Eliezer, the servant of Avraham. Okay? Shem, the son of Noach, and Eliezer, the servant of Avraham. Both fascinating people who have had very interesting lives. And they had a conversation. Interesting. What did the conversation go like? So says the Gemara. Eliezer goes to Shem and he says, man, what was it like on that teva? That was crazy, right? Like, how'd you do it? It's crazy. Can you imagine, like, someone asks you to watch their dog for a week, a cat? Like, you know, can you watch, like, two zebras, two elephants, two this, two that? It's crazy. What was that like for a year on the teva? And Shem, the son of Noach, says, yeah, it was really hard. It was really tough. End of discussion. Like, how'd you make it through? It was really hard. Interesting. Says Rav Tendler, I think I heard either Rav Chanoch Teller or Rav Tendler, I don't remember who it was, but just a fascinating idea. The answer to the question of what Eliezer was asking Shem can come from the next line in the Gemara. The Gemara tells a story about a bird that Noach was going to feed. Noach was going around doing his feedings. He was tired. He was exhausted. It just, everything was so much and so tough. And he went to a certain bird. He's like, okay, it's your turn to eat, because obviously Noach could talk to the birds because it's like a Disney movie. So you're able to talk to the birds. And he went and he said, here's your food. And the raven said, or I forgot which bird it was, the bird said, Noach, listen, man, you got so many other things to do. I'm good for right now. You go. I know how tough this must be. Go focus on everybody else. Says the Mefarshim, that's the answer to his question. How was he able to make it through? Yes, it was tough. But when there was one being that was able to be empathetic to him, that he was able to connect to and feel like understood his plight in his tough situation, that's what got him through. That's what allowed him to accomplish what he was supposed to. That's what allowed him to get through. It's this idea that in the toughest of situations, to have others that we feel our pain and are in that struggle with us, that's how we make it through so many different types of things. And that's really, like, again, a shiva. That's what it's about. We get everyone together to show we're all feeling the loss of the pain of the loss. We're all there for you. We're all part of this. And this actually can explain something that comes up very interestingly by Makas Choshech. The pasuk says, "Vayet Moshe es yado al hashamayim," that Moshe stretched forth his hands towards the heavens. "Vayhi Choshech afin la b'chol eretz Mitzrayim shloshes yamim," and for 3 days there was a crazy darkness. The next pasuk says, "Lo ra'u ish es achiv v'lo kamu ish mitachtav." One person wasn't able to see the next. It was such a thick darkness, you couldn't see anything. V'lo kamu ish mitachtav shloshes yamim. It was 3 days. U'lecho b'nei Yisrael hayu or b'moshvosam. Haya or b'moshvosam. And people couldn't see. No one was able to get up from their place. Lo kamu ish mitachtav. You couldn't get up from your place for 3 days. But the Jews had light. People are bothered. What does it mean? The Mefarshim ask. What does it mean? V'lo kamu ish mitachtav. You weren't able to get up from under him. What does that mean exactly? Says the Ksav Kabbalah. What this means is that they were unable to get up because they were terrified. Specifically, by Makas Choshech, they were terrified. They were frozen with fear for 3 days. They couldn't move. Come the Mefarshim and ask. Choshech was scary, definitely. But if we're ranking the Makos, I don't know. Would that be the scariest? Anyone here been to the Blind Museum in Israel? Pretty scary, honestly. Right, it's pretty terrifying. But it's really wild. But all of these Makos were pretty nuts. Dom, sort of, even the lightest of the Makos were crazy. Paro was ready to send them out for any individual of these Makos, any one individual of these Makos. So what is it about Choshech that was more scary than the others? So the Mefarshim explained beautifully. They say that maybe what it means is if you look at the first part of the pasuk, we can explain the second part of the pasuk. Lo ra'u ish es achiv, a person wasn't able to see their friends. You weren't able to see anybody. V'lo kamu ish mitachtav, and that's why they were terrified. Every other Makkah, yeah, they had dam, they didn't have any water, or there were frogs everywhere, but they saw that everyone else was struggling with the same thing. Lo ra'u ish es achiv, but here they couldn't see anybody else. They thought they were in this alone. Totally different type of beast. Totally different Makkah, because when you feel you're alone, it doesn't work. And perhaps this can explain also why the final test of Avraham Avinu might be coming back from Akedas Yitzhak when he sees that Sarah passed away. Right? Everyone always says, we know we have 10 tests. The Mishnah Novos tells us, Avraham had 10 tests. The Machlokes is, what are the 10 tests? Everyone agrees the Akedah is one of them and towards the end, but is it number 9 or number 10? If it's number 10, I totally understand the Akedah was a very tough test on a lot of levels. Number 1, it was his life's work. He had been preaching morality and that there's a God, Derachei HaDarchei Noam, and all of a sudden he's going to go and slaughter his own son. He's also been waiting forever for this son. So you can understand if that's number 10, but many of the Mefarshim explain that number 10 is when he came back and saw that Sarah died. Tough, but that would be number 10. That would be more intense than the Akedah, because they were going in order. And the answer is that after every one of these tests that he faced, he always had Sarah to kind of shoot the breeze with afterwards. And he would say, oh my gosh, this was so crazy, this was so tough, and blah, blah, blah. And now he comes back from this final test, and he doesn't have anyone to feel his pain with him. He doesn't have anyone to discuss it with, to talk it over with. It's not like he had that many friends at the time. Sarah was the person for him to go ahead and do that. And now that that was gone, that was very tough. And that could be this idea. Even if we don't feel like we have other people, we have to try to train ourselves to feel that God is with us in our plight. This is how Hashem introduces himself to us in the times of Mitzrayim. He comes in a thorn bush. Rashi explains why. Imo anochi bitzara. This is what Hashem is all about. Imo anochi Hashem. Imo anochi bitzara. Hashem is with us when we're struggling. That's why Hashem has that sapphire brick by his throne. By Matan Torah, when you were able to see, because Hashem remembers our struggles, or Hashem remembers our suffering and our pain, and Hashem is part of that. We have the ability to tap into that. We have the ability to feel Hashem is always with us. We then say, Elokei Arishonim HaAcharonim, that Hashem is and was the same God. I remember I had a guy who I was trying to convince to say Shimon Esrei every day, and we did for a week. He did it, and I said, we're going to co-do lunch after a week. We came back, and he's like, Rabbi, I got to tell you the craziest thing. When I'm saying Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov, it's like crazy to think it's the same God that that Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov were interacting with. Well, that's a great point. I don't think about that much, but I should. That's a great point. Take someone who was just starting again to go ahead and feel that. But we Elokei Arishonim v'Acharonim, it's the same God. All of these stories and all of these struggles we're saying, it's mamish the same God. It's the same exact thing. It's certainly something for us to go ahead and think about. All right, a little more we could say, but maybe we'll call it over here. So again, just to review, we had Yeah, all right, we'll go there. But anyway, just to review, so we spoke about the beginning, that it's for everybody, it's for men and women, that this is a svara, best to say until Yishtabach. We said that Nishmas Kolchai, there's a way to be alive but not really living. We have to appreciate that which is happening around us, soak it in, take those moments to actually feel it. We have to go ahead and glorify, we have to recognize that Hashem always wants us back no matter what, and we always have to tap into that. We then spoke about Min Ha'olam Yad Ha'olam HaTakel, this future perspective, the next world perspective of Echad. That's why Yaakov Avinu with Shema, he sees the thing come together. He sees everything. Now I understand why it had to happen. Moshe with Az Yashir. That's why we say it's Shabbos Mincha in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, because Az Yashir, sorry God, I didn't know at the time, but now I see why everything had to be the way that it is. We have those moments in our lives. We have to attach ourselves to them and work hard to go ahead and do that. Atov HaMeitiv and Dayan HaEmes are really one same bracha. Two sides of the same coin. We have to recognize that it's the same Hashem in every way. Empathy. That's Umibaladach Ein Lanu Melech Goel Moshiach. That could be why Choshech was so tough. That's Eliezer and Shame's conversation. That's the whole thing with Avraham's 10th test. We have to be there for others, but we also have to recognize that Hashem is always there for us. Mir Hashem, we should be able to take some of these ideas. Again, each line in Nishmas has so much to offer, and so much of our perspective of what Nishmas is can shape the way we go about our day. Being thankful, channeling everything that we have towards Hashem, recognizing that it's the same Hashem that was, is, and always will be, who's a part of every element of our lives, even if we don't understand everything and why it happens, we know that there's a greater purpose, and Mir Hashem, we should be zocha to see all these great things in our days. Thank you all so much for coming.